Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
Good morning, church. I hope you are well. I cannot wait to open the Word of God with you today. I feel I'm on an assignment from God today to put some faith into your soul. Maybe you are weary. Maybe right now you're confused. Maybe right now you feel a sense of disappointment. Well, God is going to meet you in that place today, and He's not going to leave you in that place. He's going to move you into a greater place. Today, I am full of faith that there's going to be a turnaround happen in your life. There's going to be something shift in your spirit. It's time to wake up on the inside, the Spirit of God that wants to help you in this season that you find yourself in. So you better lean in today to the Word of God, because we're going to talk about a gap that we all navigate. Some have to navigate it more than others. A gap that is actually really something that is unfair. Have you ever heard someone say, "It's not fair"? Maybe you are a parent and right now your kids say all the time, "It's not fair, they got to go to bed later than me. It's not fair, they got ice cream." We listen to our kids say those things to us, and maybe you have already replied to them this phrase, "Life's not fair." Because the older we get, the more we journey in life, the more we realize that is true. Life is not fair. We don't all have the same start. We don't all have the same resources and opportunity. We're not all born into the same circumstances. Life has an uneven playing field. And maybe that is something that you are so aware of right now. Maybe that is something that you feel is so wrong right now, as you are battling in a season that all you could say of that season is, "It's unfair." That's the gap I want to speak into today. That's the gap I want to help us navigate today. The gap of unfair. In fact, I'm going to call it the gap of Lo Debar. Lo Debar was an actual place in ancient Israel. And we're going to look at Lo Debar and we're going to examine it, because I think that's where sometimes, because of circumstances of life, we end up living. Some of you right now may say, "Well, I'm doing great, Charles. I'm feeling great." But I know that as you watch this, some of you are saying, "This is the worst season I have ever been through." You feel, because of everything that we are having to navigate in life right now, life has dealt you an unfair hand. Maybe you were thriving, but now, because of the circumstances, you are literally just surviving. Maybe your relationships were strong before this season, but now they seem to be under so much pressure. Maybe your business was doing great, and then COVID hit, and now you have no business left. It wasn't your fault. You didn't ask for it. You didn't create it. But right now, you're having to handle the unfair circumstances that life has given you. I know what that can feel like, and therefore in that gap, we have to know what to do and how to navigate it well. For in the gap of Lo Debar, in the gap of unfair circumstances, in that gap, we can feel like God has left us. We can even begin to feel jealous of others. We can even feel resentment towards our brothers and sisters. But in that gap, I don't want the enemy to win. I want you to realize God is with you. God is for you. And actually, God is going to do something phenomenal through your circumstances. What is Lo Debar? Well, it was an actual place in ancient Israel. And the meaning of that place is what I want to draw your attention to. Because Lo Debar meant it was a place of no pasture. Lo Debar meant this is a place of no communication and no words. It also meant Lo Debar, this is a place of no thing. And so in that place, in that town called Lo Debar that actually existed, people would be sent there because of the circumstances of their life that had treated them unfairly. They would be sent to Lo Debar, a place of obscurity. And we can feel when our circumstances sense are unfair to us, or something that we have to navigate feels so wrong. We can feel like we have been assigned a place at Lo Debar. Suddenly we've gone from pasture to no pasture. Suddenly we've gone from feeling we had things together to nothing coming together. The Bible is full of examples of that. Sometimes life just dealt people an unfair hand. What about Moses? He was born at a time when if a boy was born, they were murdered at the birthing table. He was born into a circumstance that was so unfair, put into a basket, how unfair, put on water, who knew where he would end up? What about Job? His life was great one moment. Everything was prospering and blessed and his family were great. And then suddenly, for no fault of his own, his whole life changed. The circumstances were stacked against him, from plagues in his animals, to the boils on his own body, to the death of his own family. Job could say, life is not fair. And on the stories go. But I want you to know, there's something else that's not fair. And this is where it gets really good, church. Because I'll tell you what else isn't fair. God's favor. God's favor is the unmerited grace and goodness that he pours out when he chooses, however he chooses, on whom he chooses. The favor of God to others may seem unfair, but God has a way of pouring out favor in the moments of our life where we would feel we are in Lodabar. And I want to show you that from a story in Lodabar, from someone that actually lived in that place, someone whose life took such a turn circumstantially that he ended up in a place of obscurity. His name is Mephibosheth. Before circumstances changed, Mephibosheth on paper should have had a great life. He was born into the royal household. He was born into living in a palace. He had no lack of resources or provisions. He had servants and caretakers at his fingers. And he had a life that looked like it was going to be so blessed and so easy in so many ways. But circumstances changed all that. Because we find that Mephibosheth, from a very young age, he's dealt a very difficult hand. It tells us in 2 Samuel 4 some of his story. It says that when he was 5 years old, news came about Saul and Jonathan. Jonathan was his father, Saul was his grandfather, and they had just died in battle in Jezreel. So at 5 years of age, the news comes that his father and his grandfather are dead. And in response, that means now that he, as one that is an heir of that household, he's now in danger for his life, for the living heirs would be killed by the enemies. And so now he has become overnight orphaned in that way and also a fugitive from his hometown. Then to make matters worse, the one that was entrusted with caring for him picks him up. And it says the nurse picked him up and fled. But as she hurried to leave, she fell and he became disabled. He became lame in both feet. She dropped the one she was supposed to be taking care of. All of a sudden, overnight, Mephibosheth's life has gone from one set of circumstances to another. And maybe you feel that really is right now the story of your life. That you feel like you knew what was happening and now you don't know what's happening. You feel like you had security and now you have no security. You have gone from living in a place that you knew and that you were familiar with to living in Lodabar. Are you in the gap of Lodabar? Do you feel right now you have no pasture? Do you feel right now you have no sense of words for what is going on? Do you feel right now that the things that you used to feel significant in your life have been taken from you? You are in Lodabar, but I want you to know something today. If you are in Lodabar, you don't need to freak out. You don't need to worry right now. You just need to trust God knows where you are and God's favor is on its way to you. Listen to me, church. I am on assignment today to let you know that the favor of God is going to find you and the favor of God will restore you. For God comes into our lives with his unfair, unmerited favor and begins to turn things around. And so I want us to look at the life of Mephibosheth. I want us to look at the gap he lived in of Lodabar. And I want us to draw some principles from his life for our lives today. The first thing I want you to know is that the status life gives you does not alter the significance within you. Listen to me, church. The status, the titles, the labels that life gives you, that's nothing to do with the significance that God has already predestined and placed within you. What is it about life that we take so much of our identity, so much of our worth and value from the status that is given to us? And when that is removed from us because of circumstances that change, we suddenly can feel a sense of having nothing to contribute, no worth, no value. Maybe in this season you were a business owner and now your status has changed and you have turned into someone that has a business that is no more. Maybe you have been through a season in life where your status was married, but now it is divorced. Maybe you right now are older in years and your status is single and you thought by now it would have changed to married. Our status can become something that tries to own us. It can keep us in a place in our minds of limitation, but your status does not change your significance. You are a child of God. Don't let Lo-debar begin to lie to you. Listen, Mephibosheth used to be a prince. He used to be an heir, but it didn't change the significance on his life. What about some of the people that have gone before us? The status of Gideon was, well, I'm the weakest tribe, and in the weakest tribe we're the weakest family, and in the weakest family I'm the weakest of the weak. But God says that's not the status that defines you, it's the significance within you, mighty warrior. What about the status people gave Mary? You are an unwed, pregnant teenager, shamed by her community, but the significance within her was you are the chosen carrier of a savior. What about Rahab, whose status was prostitute, woman of the night, and yet God saw significance within her, rescuer of people, saver of your family, lineage of Jesus. What about Saul, the persecutor? His status was one who had murdered and maimed those who said they served God. And yet God said, no, your significance is Apostle Paul, world changer. I don't know what your status has begun to tell you, or what your status in changing of circumstances has tried to define you. But I'm here to remind you of the significance within you. You need to stand up and remember who you are. You need to stand up and remember whose you are. And favor is on its way to you. See, God knew the significance in that young man's life. Lo-debar was a temporary place. Lo-debar was a place where he found himself, but God's favor was about to come and visit him in Lo-debar. And God puts on David's mind this young man. And we read about it in 2 Samuel 9, when David suddenly remembers a relationship that he had of significance, a relationship with Jonathan, who was Mephibosheth's father. And David asks this question: is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? And one of the servants comes forward and says, yes, there is a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet. And David, King David, says, go and bring him from Lo-debar to me. I'm telling you right now, I want you to hear me loud and clear. God's favor will put you on someone's mind. And the friendships that you gain because of your status are nothing compared to the friendships that favor will bring into your life that are all to do with your significance. David was the friend he did not know he had, but the significance of his life had determined that the favor would bring David into the neighborhood of Lo-debar. I believe right now God is putting your name on someone's mind. He is putting your name on someone's heart. Right now, someone's name may be placed on your heart. It's the way that God works. Don't ignore it. Don't dismiss it. God looks for us to be the favor bringers into the Lo-debar of people's lives. And so David comes and he sends someone and says, go get him and bring him from Lo-debar. Bring him from that gap that he is living in. Bring him to me. That's why the second point really matters. Because secondly, I want to let you know, Lo-debar may be your location, but it is not your final destination. Don't change your address to Lo-debar. A little while ago, we were having renovations done at our home, And in that temporary season, our good friends took us in. They let us stay with them for a lot longer than they thought we were going to be staying, if I'm honest. But while we were there, we didn't redirect and change the address on our mail. Why? Because we knew that was a temporary place. We weren't moving in permanently. We were going back to where it was, where we lived, where we belonged. And in those moments of our lodabar, in the gap of circumstances treating us unfairly, we have to make sure we don't move in, that you don't move in with the anxiety, that you don't move in with the disappointment, that you don't make the address of your life lodabar. I am a person of unfair treatment. I am a person of where I have no pasture. No, the Bible tells us in Psalm 23, that He is our shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, and He walks us, right, beside still waters, and He makes us lie down in green pastures. And then it says, and He'll walk you through the darkest valley. I think we've got that switched around. I think we think sometimes that God's gonna walk us quickly through a green pasture and make us lie down in a dark valley. That's not what the Word of God says. So if you are lying down right now in lodabar, get up. Get up and identify, yes, I'm in lodabar. Yes, I'm in a place where I feel circumstances have been unfair. Yes, I'm in a place where I didn't see myself being, but this is not my final destination. Listen, if you make lodabar your home address, if you make lodabar your final destination, you will miss the invite of favor for relocation. That servant came from David's house and said to Mephibosheth, you're going to have to come. This is not where you're staying. You're going to have to leave this place of obscurity and come with me to where King David resides. I'm sure he felt awkward. I'm sure he felt his clothes didn't match the occasion. I'm sure he felt embarrassed at the state that he was living in. But something inside that young man knew, I need to get up. Even though I'm crippled and lame, I need to get out of this place. This is not the end of my story. And it is not the end of your story either. So if you're in lodabar, keep moving, because God has fields of favor for your future. Just like the story of Ruth and Naomi in a foreign place with no thing to their name. You could have said that they were living in a gap of lodabar. They had lost family. They had lost their loved ones. They had lost all their possessions and all of their wealth. And yet God's favor found them and put them in the field of a man named Boaz. Boaz, God relocated them into something far greater than where they had been. Trust the hand of God. The favor of God finds us and invites us to relocate from lodabar. Don't become so comfortable in lodabar that you can't be bothered to answer the door when favor knocks. Be willing to get up and to take a step just like Mephibosheth. And finally, one of the greatest lessons that we can learn from this man's life is that your infirmity, whatever it is that has injured you, whatever it is in the unfair circumstances of life that has changed you, whether that's an illness, whether that's a physical disability, or whether that's an emotional handicap, whatever it is, we all take hits in life. But that infirmity is not your identity, but it can become a place of authority. See, whenever anyone asked earlier on in this story about Jonathan's son, nobody ever used his name. Ziba refers to him as the lame guy. Others spoke about him as the cripple. Others mentioned that he was the guy that was lame in both feet. No one used his name. In fact, when he came in front of David in 2 Samuel 9, verse 7, when he comes to David and David says to him, "For I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan." He says to him, "I'm going to restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you're going to eat at my table." That's favor. That's favor coming into his world. That's favor inviting him to relocate. But here's how he replies. Mephibosheth bows down and says, "What is your servant that you should even notice a dead dog like me?" See, See, the longer you stay in Lodabar, the more you begin to identify with your brokenness and identify with your infirmity. But God needs you to leave that behind, and He is inviting you. See, favor didn't just restore him in possessions, but favor was about to extend to him a place of authority. David could have said, I'm going to give you back, Mephibosheth, what was taken from you. But he said, I'm going to give you it back, and I'm going to invite you to eat every night at the king's table. I think he was overwhelmed at that last part of what David said. Me at the king's table? Me who's lived in Lodabar for so long? I'm going to sit at the king's table, the one who no one even says my name, the one whose body is broken, the one who has been abused and afflicted, the one who's been cast out and status has been cut off. Me? See, that's where the favor of God is so unfair in the best possible way. It doesn't just do one thing. It takes care of everything. Everything the enemy is. That's when we read about Job and how his life had all the crops taken and his family was torn apart. God made sure when it came time that the favor of God restored to him, not just what he had, but way beyond what he had. That's why when Joseph was in a prison and in a gap called Lodabar, he didn't just leave the prison, but he left the prison and became prime minister. Why? Because God always makes sure that the favor he pours out on you does way more than anybody or anything could ever do for you. And here's the most powerful thing, church. This cripple, lame man, who no one used the name of, is suddenly lifted every single day by people who would have had to call him by name. The servants of the household would pick him up and say, Mephibosheth, would you like this chair? Mephibosheth, can I bring you water? Mephibosheth, can I serve you? His name was spoken through the corridors of that palace by every person that ever entered that space. They would know at the king's table sits Mephibosheth. They would know that this man from Lodabar was back at a seat of authority. And here's the most incredible part of this story. Do you know what Mephibosheth means? Mephibosheth means the destroyer of shame. All his life, because of an unfair circumstance, he had felt shame. It was not his fault. He did not deserve it. It was just the unfair hand that life dealt him. He felt shame in Lodabar as people walked by him calling him cripple. He felt shame as he couldn't even get from point A to point B without having to ask for help or someone to lift him. He felt shame that he once was associated with royalty, but now he was living in a place of obscurity. He felt shame. But when favor finds you, oh, you become a destroyer of shame. And Mephibosheth, he got on that table and he sat at that table and he had conversation with those that had power and influence around that table. Mephibosheth became a destroyer of shame. Favor will move you from a place where you live in shame to a place where that shame is destroyed and you become a voice of authority. So I don't know today what gap of Lodabar looks like for you. I know some of you have been there a long time. I know some of you right now feel like there's never, ever going to be an exit strategy. But I am on an assignment today to tell you, church, God's favor will find you. God has a way of putting you on people's minds and people's hearts. God has a way of calling for you and relocating you. God has a way of taking that thing that you thought would always maim you and using it as a place of authority for the future before you. This is a time, church, for us to, in the gap called Lodabar, look up and speak up. This is not a time for us to lay down in the valley of the shadow of death. This is the time to keep walking towards the green pastures. If you've been in a place of no pasture, green pastures are ahead of you. If you've been in a place where you feel you've had no voice, the King's table is calling for you. If you've been in a place where you feel you've lost everything, God is the restorer of all those things. So today, I want you to have hope. I want you to have faith. Right now, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bedroom, wherever you are, I want you to stand up. Some of you are going to have to stand up physically because this needs you to stand up because you've been sat down, laying down in Lodabar too long. You just stand up and say, I am a child of God. I am blessed by God. I am highly favored by God.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.